could only do something, she sobbed. If I could only do something, Billy, you know. You can, he said, and touched her breast. They made love. He began thinking, this one is for her, and discovered it had been for himself, after all. Instead of seeing Lita Rossington's haunted face and shocked glittering eyes in the darkness, he was able to sleep. The next morning, the scale registered 176. He had arranged a leave of absence from the office in order to accommodate the metabolic series. Kirk Pinchley had been almost indecently willing to accommodate his request, leaving Halleck with a truth he would just as soon not have faced. They wanted to get rid of him. With two of his former three chins now gone, his cheekbones evident for the first time in years, the other bones of his face showing almost as clearly, he had turned into the office boogeyman. Hell yes, Pinchley had responded almost before Billy's request was completely out of his mouth. Pinchley spoke in a too hearty voice, the voice people adopt when everyone knows something is seriously wrong and no one wants to admit it. He dropped his eyes, staring at the place where Halleck's belly used to be. Take however much time you need, Bill. 3 days should do it, he'd replied. Now he called Pinchley back from the payphone at Barker's coffee shop and told him he might have to take more than 3 days. More than 3 days, yes, but maybe not just for the metabolic series. The idea had returned, glimmering. It was not a hope yet, nothing as grand as that. But it was something. How much time? Pinchley asked him. I don't know for sure, Halleck said. 2 weeks maybe, possibly a month. There was a momentary silence at the other end, and Halleck realized Pinchley was reading a subtext. What I really mean, Kirk, is that I'll never be back. They finally diagnosed the cancer. Now comes the cobalt, the drugs for pain, the interferon if we can get it, the Laetril if we wig out and decide to head for Mexico. The next time you see me, Kirk, I'll be in a long box with a silk pillow under my head. And Billy, who had been afraid and not much more for the last 6 weeks, felt the first thin stirrings of anger. That's not what I'm saying, goddammit. At least not yet. No problem, Bill. We'll want to turn the hood matter over to Ron Baker, but I think everything else can hang fire for a while longer. The fuck you do. You'll start turning over everything else to staff this afternoon, and as for the hood litigation, you turned it over to Ron Baker last week. He called Thursday afternoon and asked me where Sally put the fucking con gas depositions. Your idea of hanging fire, Kirk, baby, has to do solely with Sunday afternoon chicken barbecues at your place in Vermont, so don't bullshit a bullshitter. I'll see he gets the file, Billy said, and could not resist adding, I think he's already got the con gas deps. A thoughtful silence at Kirk Pinchley's end as he digested this. Then, well, if there's anything I can do... There is something, Billy said, although it sounds a little Looney Tunes. What's that? His voice was cautious now. You remember my trouble this early spring, the accident? Yes. The woman I struck was a gypsy. Did you know that? It was in the paper, Pinchley said reluctantly. She was a part of, a band, I guess you'd say, a band of gypsies. They were camping out here in Fairview. They made a deal with a local farmer who needed cash. Hang on a second, Kirk Pinchley said, his voice a trifle waspy, totally unlike his former paid mourner's tone. Billy grinned a little. He knew this second tone and liked it infinitely better. He could visualize Pinchley, who was 45, bald, and barely 5 feet tall, grabbing a yellow pad in one of his beloved Flair fineliners. When he was in high gear, Kirk was one of the brightest, most tenacious men Halleck knew. Okay, go on, who was this local farmer? Arncaster, Lars Arncaster. After I hit the woman... Her name? Halleck closed his eyes and dragged for it. It was funny, all of this, and he hadn't even thought of her name since the hearing. Lemke, he said finally. Her name was Susanna Lemke. L-E-M-P-K-E? No P. Okay. After the accident, the gypsies found that they'd worn out their welcome in Fairview. I've got reason to believe they went on to Raintree. I want to know if you can trace them from there. I want to know where they are now. I'll pay the investigative fees out of my own pocket. Damned right you will, Penchley said jovially. Well, if they went north into New England, we can probably track them down. But if they headed south into the city or over into Jersey, I don't know. Billy, are you worried about a civil suit? No, he said. But I have to talk to that woman's husband, if that's what he was. Oh, Penchley said. And once again, Halleck could read the man's thoughts as clearly as if he'd spoken them aloud. Billy Halleck.